Blog Talk Radio.
This is T. LeVon Lawrence coming to you live from beautiful Seattle, Washington, sporting a fantastic view of the mountains and gorgeous vistas of scenic Puget Sound. This is the Mental Power Hour, and I am your host, NeuroSculpting Certified Mental Fitness and Brain Training Consultant, author and designer of the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training System for the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness. Fact, the weaker your attention span, the more chaotic your life experience. Fact, by willfully increasing the length of time that you can hold your attention onto a simple task, you boost your mental discipline, which then affects every single area of your life. Fact, increasing your attention span is simple, but you have to be willing to put in consistent daily effort to achieve the objective. Folks, have we got a show for you today? How to boost your attention span, how to stay pleasantly on task for extended periods of time, so you can stay on course and achieve your goals faster. This morning, I want to thank everybody who's in the chat room and everybody who's listening in via our iPods, everybody who's been putting us in Facebook and putting us through Twitter. We certainly appreciate it. This week, we're going to discuss what is attention span. Now, we're going to talk about the popular view of attention span. Now, I've got my own definition through the NeuroSculpting Training System because, while I've done the research, I know what attention span really is, but most people have a certain view of what it really means. Now, fine, that's cool, but what the heck is it? What is this thing that we're talking about when we're talking about attention span? It's not just the fact that you stay on task. What is it? Because half the battle is knowing what it is. Now, most of the people who come to me for training for attention span, I spend the initial hours of training in actually telling them what it is, getting them to understand what it is biologically, neurologically, mentally. And I find that, well, I'd say for at least half those people, knowing what it is actually clears up a lot of the cobwebs and helps them go faster along the route. So we're going to discuss what is attention span. Now, we also want to know, what does it mean to have a weak attention span? How does it actually affect you? What type of impact does it have on every area of your life? We want to talk about what happens if you increase your attention span. How does that impact every area of life? And then we're going to talk about what are a few strategies for increasing your attention span. No need to be talking about attention span if I'm going to tell you how to actually increase it. Now, when I tell you how to increase it, I need you to keep in mind that what I'm handing you is simply a map. I'm not giving you the territory. The territory you're going to have to explore on your own. And as any of these can tell you, any of the ones who actually do the training consistently, the information that I provide and information that you get in the system itself is not the actual experience of training. The actual experience of training is how you become better at training. I could talk to you for a 1,000 years about increasing your attention span. I can talk to you 1,000 years about what it is and what it's like to have a stronger attention span and to, what it's like to build attention span. But none of that is actually going to truly educate you on the nature of attention and of control of attention. And of even the benefits of attention. There are benefits of attention that have nothing to do with the money you can make, with the better jobs you can get, with the raises that you can get and the promotions that you can get. If you do attention span training correctly, well, at least according to my system, you're going to experience something much deeper and much more profound than merely the material gains that you can acquire because of it. Now, also on today's show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the live personal and group training summaries I had this week, training people from literally on every continent. Well, probably not Antarctica. I don't think there's anybody with attention problems in Antarctica. But I've been training people all over the world. I've got two types of training. I've got the free training that we provide, and I've got the training where people actually subscribe to the system and they get to talk to me and work with me. Well, issues come up. Questions come up, and that's why I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, too, because it may help you. We're going to talk about the mind-nourishing book of the week and movie of the week. Yeah, yes, I actually took a little time out this week to do some reading, and I watched the movie. We're going to talk about it. I don't watch your boneheaded movies. Okay, every once in a while, I'll watch a boneheaded movie. But the movies I bring to your attention have something deep in them, something sewn into the lining that has meaning, depth, something that might actually change you. And I know some of these movies you're going to have already seen, but we're going to talk about something maybe you did not see about the movie. Now, you're welcome to call in during the show to ask any questions and get advice. The number to call in is 347-884-9397. That's 347-884-9397. Now, for any of the NeuroSculpting subscribers who are listening in, who contacted me this week because they want to actually do some live training, I'll be available right after the show. Now, the only reason I haven't contacted anybody earlier this week, other than some of the group training, is because, well, I've been moving, and I was moving for 4 straight days. I wasn't just moving myself. I had some friends I had to move, some relatives. In any case, great economy we're living in there, folks. You can call me personally this week if you don't want to call into the show, if you have any questions. And believe me, when I give this number out, folks, the number gets used. I speak to people nearly every single day. If I don't have meetings that I got to be in all day, I speak to people nearly every single day using this phone number. If I don't get back to you right away, I will get back to you. The phone number is 904-638-3851. Feel free to leave a message if you can't get a hold of me directly. So, how valuable is this episode for you? What are you going to get out of listening to this episode? Let's talk about your life for a second. Let's talk about all the things that you want to do that you have not been able to get yourself to do. Let's talk about the places you want to go, but you haven't been able to go. What are the real reasons behind your not getting what you want out of yourself? I won't even say out of your life, because if you can get what you want out of yourself, you'll get what you want out of your life. And one of the most amazing things is if you got the self-discipline to get what you can from yourself, what you truly can, your true potential, your desires will reflect that discipline. Most people I talk to have wild, chaotic, untrained, uncontrolled desires. By boosting your attention span, you increase your self-discipline, which actually changes your desires. I don't mean necessarily changing as in your target changes. If you want money, well, you'll desire money with increased self-discipline, but only now you'll actually be able to carry it out. Now, when you don't have self-discipline, when you have a weak attention span, your desire for money is chaotic. It's undisciplined. You don't have the ability to achieve the level that you want when it comes to money. And then you do stupid things with it when you have a weak attention span. Most people don't have money because of their uncontrolled attention. They don't realize what their desires cause them to do or what their desires cause them to not do. That was a strange statement, what their desires cause them to not do. But it's the truth. When you have a weak, short attention span, and not necessarily short, but weak, and we'll talk about weakness here shortly. When you have a weak attention span, your desires own you. You don't own your life. And we're going to talk about that in the symptoms of a weak attention span. How valuable is this show to you? Well, if I tell you one thing during this show that actually allows you to improve your attention span, and I don't care how long your attention span is now, I'm talking improving you. If I can get you one good bit of advice out of the hour plus time I'm going to be spending talking to people that actually improves your ability to control your attention, it will impact your life in such a way that it will make it worth your time to have listened to this show. What I'm going to tell you in this show, folks, is literally worth thousands, tens of thousands, and for some of you, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's worth better relationships. It's worth better academic performance. It's worth better social performance. That's how valuable this episode is. Now, I'm going to be giving a gift away, and which is the same gift I give away every week. Thousands of people have this free gift. It's called 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness, and you can get it at the Neurosculpting Training Studio on our website, www.neurosculpting.com. That's NEURO-sculpting.com. Look up top. You'll see a tab says free 7-day course. Click that tab, put in your email address, and you'll receive the course. Make sure to check your spam box to see if any of the emails that come to you go into this spam folder. When you get the first email, just go ahead and confirm that you really did want the course, and then that'll be followed by a second email. Now, I have set up a seven days of supportive training that people are supposed to be getting after they sign up for the course, and all it does is it tells you a little bit more about what you should know in relation to each of the 7 days. I have not activated that yet because we're having such a problem with Yahoo and Hotmail, and I don't want to hit a button and send out thousands of newsletters only to get hundreds and hundreds of rejections from Yahoo and Hotmail, so I'm holding it off for a bit. Everybody who wants to get the 7 days of extra supportive training, just email me, let me know. It's trainer@neurosculpting.com. That's NEURO-sculpting.com. I'm going to set up a second account, probably using Constant Contact rather than Interspire, and probably go ahead and send it out to the people who are requesting it now. It's really good training. Now, you'll find the similar material by going to the forum for the 7-day course. There's a free forum that you can get supportive training in if you want. You can go to neurosculpting.com, click on the brain training blog, our brain fitness blog up top. When you go to the blog, you'll see a tab up there says forum. You can just go into the forum, go into each of the 7 days, and read the supportive material there. You can put in any training experiences that you're having or any problems you have right there. Let me know. We'll go ahead and help you there. So you've got full support for the 7-day course. The 7-day course is not a course that you can do in 7 days and suddenly you've got amazing brain fitness. It is 7 days worth of valuable, priceless information. And you can use this information to literally change your mental destiny. Now, also, one of the things I'd like you guys to do, because I give away so much information, because I spend so much time helping people, and I don't ask for a dime. The only time anybody gets charged is when they become a subscriber to the studio, and they work directly with me. Because I give away so much information, I only ask one thing in return. All I ask is that you let other people know about the valuable information that you're getting and that you're receiving and that you're hearing. And a couple of ways you can do that is right here on the radio show page here at Blog Talk Radio, You can find the Tweet This button. Let your friends on Twitter know that you're listening to something valuable. There's also a Like This button to where you can let your Facebook friends know what you're listening to. It's of value to them. Now, people have birthdays. People have all kinds of events, like Christmas and holidays, and they exchange gifts. These gifts wind up in the junk pile. They gather dust. They wind up out of the junkyard. They get thrown away. They get consumed. They get broken. The typical material gifts are worthless in comparison to you letting other people know that you're getting something that is right for the mind. That is a true gift. That is a lasting gift. And if someone who looks at your Facebook page or looks at your Twitter broadcast finds out that you're listening to this kind of material, that you have access to this kind of material, and then they go and they get the material, you just help improve the world just by that amount. Now, I'm not calling myself a savior or anything like that, but this material helps people, and you help people when you let them know that you're getting it. The Mental Power Hour is brought to you by the NeuroSculpting Mental Training Studio for the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower. It enhances brain health and brain fitness. Feel free to visit the NeuroSculpting Training Studio at www.neurosculpting.com. Next week's show, guys, self-discipline, the power to own yourself. How to turn a lack of self-discipline into your ally for better self-discipline. That's going to be a great show. How to turn a lack of self-discipline into your ally for better self-discipline. There's a way to do it. I'm going to tell you how. The big disclaimer. The information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not claim nor suggest you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. If you feel you may have a serious mental health issue, if you're crazier than a bug in a rug, you make sure to consult your doctor and then hook your doctor up with this broadcast because he probably needs the help. Live personal and group training summaries for this past week. Here are some of the things that I've gone over with groups and individuals within groups this past week. Now, I haven't done much individual live training because of the move, but for group training with businesses and organizations, I run into a couple. I've had several people walk up to me or call me from conferences, and they want to know about special mental talents. Several people, they want to read auras, they want to read minds, they want telekinesis, and I'm just fine. Here's what I tell people when it comes to special mental talents. Now, me, I'm a scientific guy. If it's not a fact, I don't even want to deal with it. But there are, I repeat, there are some very special mental talents in the world. But I'm going to tell you this, audience member, dear listener. They are not what you think they are. And they are not what carnival barkers and fakers and frauds portray them to be. If you think you have a special mental talent or you want to investigate special mental talents, the number one priority you should have is first to own yourself. Now, it's my job to know about the mental industry, the industry of the mind. It's what I do. It's who I am. And in the research that I've done, one of the things I can tell you is that people who refer to themselves and in such terms as mentalist, look up the word mentalist. People who are mentalists or who were mentalists, because you're not going to find that many nowadays. Matter of fact, most of the people I hear who refer to themselves as having special powers are morons, undisciplined, desperate morons who do not own themselves. And it is because they do not own themselves that they are standing up, lying, and deceiving other people. Mentalists, especially in the past, are masters of self-discipline, of owning the self. They would never speak to other people about special mental talents without first speaking and demanding the ownership of self-discipline. What good is a fool with a fortune? He or she just squanders the fortune. So when it comes to special mental talents and what I've spoken to people about regarding special mental talents today, the first thing you need to do is learn to master yourself. And that involves mastering your attention, mastering your thoughts, mastering your emotions, and then you will know everything you need to know about human beings. You can read a person like a book from a mile away without ever speaking a word to them. It's amazing what your intuition can do. The power of your intuition is so much more profound than you can imagine. But I'm not going to get into specific mental talents. I'm just saying, if you listen to this show, if you read the materials, if you go to the Neural Sculpting Training Studio or you listen to watch the YouTube channel, because you have something you are pursuing from a mental talent standpoint, drop the habit of seeking after baubles and paltry little shiny things. Get the real deal. Learn to own yourself and master yourself. Then you will learn the meaning of true mental power. And then you can go after whatever you want because you will know how to discern truth from fiction. Also this week, we've talked about correcting weak concentration for beginners. Now, if you're just starting out with training, don't expect to succeed right away. I don't care what these other mental training systems tell you about, well, you only need 5 minutes a day and you'll be Einstein in no time flat. Folks, if you've got weak concentration, if you've got weak attention control, if you're constantly distracted by life, it's not going to happen right away. Now, you can learn enough information to actually speed up, to accelerate your progress, but you're still going to have to work. Why? Because your attention, your ability to concentrate is based on your neural, on your brain's anatomy, the actual cellular structure and intracellular interconnectivity of your brain cells. And in order for you to improve your ability to pay attention, to direct your attention, control your attention, to concentrate, you have to actually adjust the physical structure of your brain. There's no getting around it. There's no instant. It's like saying you're going to go to the gym as a fat, out-of-shape human being, and you're going to walk out as Lou Ferrigno or Arnold Schwarzenegger within a week. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to work. Again, there are some strategies that you can acquire that will speed things up, that may even help you significantly. But those strategies take research, take training. You take someone with knowledge who can give you those strategies and how to apply those strategies. Like even in the free seven-day course that I give away, there are strategies in there. There are tools in there that can literally revolutionize your life, your self-control, your self-discipline. But there are strategies for applying what you have there that can speed things up. But one way or the other, you're going to have to change your brain's anatomy. Now, you can't control on the cellular level what's going to happen. But by virtue of you choosing and applying certain techniques, you can greatly affect the direction of the change. You do have control. You can customize your training to achieve certain results. And that's why you need someone who has the actual experience and knowledge to help you go in that direction. Now, there are some things you're going to have to overcome that are a result of your previous life habits. There are degrees of homeostasis, of mental laziness, that are literally etched into your brain's anatomy. It's not like you can suddenly say, hey, I'm suddenly going to be disciplined. Oh, no. You can have the intent, But you're going to have to actually train to overcome that, to actually erase that from your brain and replace it with an anatomical structure, a cellular structure that is more conducive to your doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, whether you're in the mood to do it or not. So, again, this week I've been talking to groups of people about correcting weak concentration for beginners. It requires commitment. It requires the ability to overcome discomfort. There's nothing particularly comfortable about starting out with serious mental training, just like there's nothing comfortable about going to the gym and lifting weights at first. When you go to the gym to lift weights, there's some soreness initially. You have to overcome your desire to be running out and eating ice cream and partying all night. The same thing applies for mental training. And Damon, who's in the chat room, has suggested I do a show on that, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. We're going to talk about the obstacles to mental training, to self-discipline. We're going to literally get into it, and we're going to talk about overcoming, a whole show on just overcoming obstacles, dealing with obstacles. And one final thing we talked about this week in group training is increasing creativity. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to several people about increasing creativity on an individual basis, mostly college kids. But in business training, when I'm training businesses and organizations, there's a heavy emphasis on creativity. Because you've got products and services, you want to innovate, you want to outdo the competition. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of what I talked about to the group so much because there are, you know, issues of strategy that I don't want to give away for individual companies. But I'll tell you on an individual level, if you want to improve your creative ability, your ability to innovate, you've got to do two things. You've got to be able to master your attention so that you can calm your brain down. You are nowhere near as creative when you're hyped up than when you are when you're quieted down. And the second thing you've got to be able to do is to literally control your thoughts. You've got to be able to direct your thoughts, to be able to construct new ideas, to form new correlations and interactions between thoughts, to be able to speak to yourself and communicate to yourself in a more logical manner, in a more creative, to be able to have a voice that does not run all over the place. So increasing creativity means decreasing mental chaos, not increasing mental chaos. When you look into the art world and you see people who have chaotic lives and they call them creative geniuses, folks, these guys would be much more creative if they had mental discipline. Einstein, Tesla, these guys had mental discipline. They were not nouveau artsy, fartsy, undisciplined, dark, self-abusive people. They had mental discipline. Creativity comes with discipline. So my nourishing book of the week, Siddhartha. No, you know what? That's next week. Sorry, forget that. My nourishing book of the week for this week is The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein, or Silverstein. I say Silverstein. The Giving Tree. I know it's a strange one to bring up. It's a children's book. But I'm telling you, it is one of the most profound creations for children ever, The Giving Tree. If you're an adult, it might take you 15, 20 minutes to read. But I would hit the library and give yourself a deep and profound mental exercise and read this book. And ask yourself the question, have I watched any movies or read any books of late that are as truly profound as this child's book, The Giving Tree? I remember years ago when I first read this book to my young cousins, because I didn't know about the book when I was raising my own sons. So I read it to my cousins, The Giving Tree. And as I read the book, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I remember turning to the 8-year-old, to Sarah, and I said, Sarah, what is it? What does it mean to you, what we've just read? And, of course, at 8 years old, she had her own perspective on it. It was a totally different experience for me. I was able to apply the Giving Tree to real life as an adult in a very profound way. And I suggest you go back and you read the book. They got it at the library. Come on, guys. Personally, I buy it. I put it right next to the deepest books you've got in your library, if you even have a library. And if you don't have a library, you are truly missing out. My nourishing movie of the week, I went back and revisited Shawshank Redemption, starring Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins. Shawshank Redemption. Now, most of you have probably watched Shawshank Redemption. I advise you go back and watch it again. But this time, when you watch it, don't watch it as the typical moviegoer. Look for the messages. And the thing that hit me the most are two things this time watching. I've seen the movie probably 20 times, but it hits me with something different each time. The two things that hit me the most this time are the concept of freedom, the right to be left alone and to be able to determine your own destiny. Freedom was the thing that kept hitting me while watching this movie. The value, the priceless value, the treasure of personal freedom. And not just freedom from prison. That's not the freedom I'm talking about. I'm talking about the freedom to be free and what it is to be free on the inside, no matter what's going on around you. Freedom. See if you can see the message, if you can feel it inside yourself. See if it strikes a note within you. And the other thing that hit me was beauty. Beauty. Watch for his need, his craving, his desire to not only have beauty, to find beauty, but then to express beauty. And watch the vicious, evil reaction from the system around him to the very idea of the expression of beauty. And watch how the people around him who were similarly incarcerated were affected by those brief moments of exposure to beauty. The scene with him playing the opera music from The Wedding of Figaro. Yes, I'm an opera fan. I knew that's from The Wedding of Figaro. Shawshank Redemption, and of course, The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. And now, how to boost your attention span. How to stay pleasantly on task for extended periods of time so that you can stay on course and achieve your goals faster. What is attention span? Now, when we talk about attention span this week, we're going to talk about the popular view of what attention span is. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the training view of what attention span is. Let's talk about attention. Attention is your ability to not only perceive the world around you and the world within you. You've got the ability to perceive your own thoughts, your own inner dialogue. You, of course, can perceive your own body and the feelings and the impulses within your own body, as well as the world around you. And in neuroscience, a lot of times attention is described basically as a bubble or a lens upon the world. It involves your consciousness, your ability to know that you know or to know that you exist. So we'll refer to it as a bubble when we talk about attention itself. Now, the actual definition, the actuality of attention when it comes to attention span is that bubble, the bubble itself. How big is your bubble? How much of your external world can you perceive at any one time? Now, if you look straight out in front of you, you'll probably see a circle of things in your perception. You can't see behind you so much, but you can see out to the sides up to a certain degree. You can see up above and down below to a certain degree. Let's call that your circle. Now, at the same time, while you're looking outward, you can perceive the fact that your heart is beating. You can perceive the fact that you're breathing. You can perceive the fact of how your muscles are feeling. And you have the ability to perceive the fact that you are thinking and talking to yourself. That's all included in your bubble. You can literally train to increase the size, the scope, and scale of that bubble. That is the type of attention span training that you do through the Neural Sculpting System. The attention span we're talking about this week is actually your attention endurance, how long and how intensely you can hold your attention onto a target, or simply how long and how intensely, how clearly you can simply hold your attention, period. It doesn't need to be on a target. You can control your attention without putting it on target. That's one of the issues I've had with a couple of trainees over the past few weeks, is that they're having a difficult time not directing their attention, of simply controlling it without putting it onto something. For them, their attention is always onto something. They can't simply disconnect it and hold it, let it float free. And that's one of the things I'm going to be working with them on. Now, your attention bubble, okay, can be directed all over the place. You can direct it onto a target, onto the wall, onto a project you're working on, onto another person. You can turn it inside yourself. You can direct your attention. You can narrow it down to a fine point, a term I like to call singular attention. Like, for instance, there's one particular training technique where I have people just put a dot on a piece of paper, put it out at, say, arm's length, and direct their attention onto the dot, make the dot the most important thing on earth, the only thing on earth. That is a narrowing of attention. But you can literally stretch your attention and expand it out to the full scale of your bubble. Now, what you think you can perceive right now is not all that you can perceive. You can increase it. You can improve it. But we're not so much concerned about the bubble as we are the ability to control the bubble for an extended period of time. That's the attention span we're talking about. We're talking about time. We're talking about endurance. And where you have time and endurance in relation to attention, you have potential personal power. So, attention span, for the sake of what we're doing here, is your ability to simply control your attention for an extended period of time. Doesn't matter the target. Because if you can control it, you're going to be able to put it on any target. Some targets are easier than others. We're talking about time. And when I say, in the case of the trainees who are having a difficult time disconnecting attention from targets so that they can simply float free and they don't have to put it to work, I'm talking about the work being transferred from the target to simply something I call meta-attention, attending to attention itself, paying attention to attention. It's a special skill. You have to train to get it. Some folks are going to have it far easier and quicker than others. But if you can simply be able to put your attention onto your attention, you've just literally swept aside all forms of obstacles. Because when you have that level of attention, you can do nearly anything with it. So, attention span, the ability to control your attention for an extended period of time. Now, I'm going to give you, just for a moment, I'm going to take the one example of a technique that I just mentioned. And we're going to talk about the characteristics of control using that technique. The technique is called the Singular Mental Concentration Builder. It's a basic, very basic technique. I have a version of it on the YouTube channel. It's www.youtube.com/dynamicmentalfitness. There's a version of this technique in there. It's not as intense as this one, but the technique is basically you take a card or an envelope or something that you can draw a small dot on. When you do the dot, you place the dot about arm's length from you. You put it at eye level or slightly above. Personally, I prefer it to be slightly above because it makes your eye muscles work a little bit more and makes you put out a little more effort. If you have it at eye level, it's a little more relaxing. I don't particularly like it at eye level. It to me personally, it feels a little bit lazy. And by all means, don't put it below eye level. That has an entirely different effect. I know people who, a lot of people who meditate when they use candles, they don't have the candle at eye level or above. They have it down below. And then they wonder why they get sleepy or tired or why they drift off. It's a different effect. It has something to do with the wiring in the brain. So have it at eye level or above. Now, the objective is to make that dot the most important thing, period. To make it the only thing, period, in your world. So in order for you to do that, you're going to have to literally own your attention. You're going to have to drive it in the same way that you would drive a vehicle. That means you're going to have to direct your attention onto the target. That's control. Directing your attention is control. That's an aspect of control. Then once you have it on target, you're going to have to fine-tune your perception to stay on target because the eye tends to move. It's a natural thing for the eye to move back and forth. It moves very rapidly, which is one of the reasons why reading is a great mental exercise when you force yourself to read word by word by word and just go along the lines. When you direct your eyes when you're reading, when you consciously and purposefully direct your eyes, you're engaging in an act of control. Now, on the exercise, once you have your target fine-tuned, you then need to sweep aside any temptation to talk to yourself, to engage in mental chatter. Now, some people try to force the matter. Me personally, I tell people, no, just don't participate. Your brain's going to chatter regardless. Your job is simply to decline to participate. Just one of the easiest ways to do it is to simply continue to remember what it is you're supposed to be doing and to do it. Just continually go back to the target. Your brain will get the message. Now, for some people, it's faster than others. The process is faster than others. Some people, their brain will start to calm down quickly. Others, it may take a while. But the point is to pour yourself into the target. Now, there are levels of resolve that you can enact. You can literally will yourself into the target. But you have to be very careful. Because the stronger you will yourself, the more tense you can become. And the idea is to kind of stay relaxed. You don't want your muscles to tense up too much. Now, you can push and then let go, push and then let go if you want. There, again, more characteristics of control. But as long as you stay on that target, as long as you continue to bring yourself back to the target, if you drift off into a thought or if you forget what you're supposed to be doing, then you are making progress. It might not seem like it at first, but you are. So you continue to pour yourself into the target. That is control. Now, what's happening during the time that you are repeatedly pouring yourself into that target? You are dealing in endurance. You are improving your endurance. Now, the reason you have to continually pour yourself back into the target because you've drifted off into thought or your attention has wandered or you've started to engage in self-talk is because your endurance is not that strong at first. And one of the reasons I drafted this exercise is because it is one of the simplest ones you can do. You can do it at work when you've got a break. You can even do it outside at the park. You just get away from people and sit there and do it. You can do it at home. You can do it if you're sitting in the car, and you're waiting in a long line at the bank through the drive-through. Just break out the card, do the exercise for a few minutes while you're waiting. I mean, it's a convenient exercise. But the point is your endurance, your ability to stay on that task improves because your control is improving. It's about control. And the longer you control, the better you get at controlling. What do you have to control? You have to control your attention. You have to control your thoughts. You have to control your physical impulses, the desire to move around, the desire to get up and drop the exercise and go do something else. These are forces that you have to control. These are the very same forces that determine the course of your day. These are the very same forces that determine the course of your life. And if you are using a simple technique like this to control those forces, you'll get better at controlling those forces in your daily life. Again, remember, we're talking about self-discipline. A simple technique like that literally can radically change your life if you know how to apply it. Now, it's not so simple that you're going to sit down for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes a day and do this exercise, and suddenly you're going to be a performing genius. There are lessons that need to be learned. So I tell people, you've got to write down your experience. Because just because you can do it well in that particular technique, when you go to your job, you need to try to figure out a way, okay, how do I apply the lessons and the skills that I've learned in this? How do I apply it to what I'm doing here at the office? How do I apply it in this social situation? How do I apply it when it comes to my finances? How do I apply it to every area of my life? How do I apply it to influencing other people if I'm in sales? And it does apply. It all applies. When it comes to practical application, that's when people go from, like, the free seven-day course and they actually become a subscriber because they want to know, hey, okay, I've got these skills. I've got this knowledge. Now, how do I convert it for my profit and benefit in my life? It's all about how do I convert the lessons. Now, I've got people who I've been training for months, and my biggest concern for somebody who's been training for that long is you got to know how to actually apply what you've learned. And did you actually learn anything, or were you just doing the exercises by rote? That's why it's so important to keep a journal, to track your training. So we know why attention span has an impact on life. And we know why training your attention span actually improves your life, because it teaches you something. Not only does it improve your skills, and it actually changes the intracellular connectivity within your brain, among your brain cells, but it gives you the habits you need to where you can take it out in the life and apply it. It's just a matter of, okay, how do I actually apply it to this? And that's where strategy comes in. But what does it mean to have weak attention span? Now, one of the biggest things that I have to do when it comes to people is deal with their self-esteem when they first come to training and find out that they're not superhuman mentally. I give a simple technique, like on the YouTube channel, when they go to do the basic mental object retention exercise. Every week I get dozens of emails from people or notifications from folk worried because they couldn't do that exercise more than for, say, 30 to 40 seconds. I've got people who can't do it for 5 seconds. And it concerns them. And I have to let them know, not a problem. If you were not a marathon runner, you would not expect to be able to break out and do 26 miles without training. When it comes to a basic technique such as the basic mental object retention technique, it's something you have to practice. Your brain is not wired initially to hold an image on the stage of your imagination for that long. Now, most of us have fertile enough imaginations. We can daydream. We can have imagery in motion. But most of the time, we don't control daydreams. Daydreams are a passive activity. It's a passive activity. You don't have control over it. It's an easy activity that you've been doing since you were a child. But when it comes to taking a still image that you construct, a simple thing, a triangle, a circle of a certain color, and holding it on the stage of your mind, your neural anatomy is not set up to do that effectively. You literally have to change your brain, train your brain, in order to be able to do that. And some people are not set up at all to do it. And some people are oral learners. They learn better by sound. They control and concentrate better by sound. Some people are kinesthetic. They work by feel. I've got training techniques for all those folks, for all of them. Now, when it comes to weak attention span, their inability to do that technique or to do some of the other basic techniques are a result of, again, neural anatomy. It's in the brain. It's not your fault. And let me emphasize, it's not your fault if you're weak in these particular areas, but it is your responsibility. You're the only person who's going to be able to change that around to be able to get the benefits that you want. Weak attention span means you got bad habits, period. And again, you know this guy, come on. That's why people come to the training. That's why people listen to the radio show and they go for the seven-day system and they sign up as subscribers to their NeuroSculpting Training Studio. They want to change a couple things. They want to change the way they behave and they want to change the way they feel, both of which can be acquired. Both benefits can be done through a mastery of attention. It's amazing what this one simple skill can do. It's like William James wrote way back when. He said, effort of attention is the essential phenomenon of will. Effort of attention is the essential phenomenon of will. If you guys could simply write down that statement and think and ponder what it means, you will understand the key, the secret to putting your life in the kind of order that you want. Effort of attention is the essential phenomenon of will. The evidence of your self-discipline, the evidence of your ability to do what you're supposed to do, to be who you need to be and to have what you need, is evidenced in your ability to control your attention. And that's what we're talking about. So if you've got a weak attention span, weak endurance of attention, you're naturally going to have bad habits. Mentally, you're going to have bad habits, daydreaming, mental wandering, bad internal conversations, negative judgmentalism against other people, and you can't even control it. You can't help yourself. Nastiness, darkness, self-abusive thoughts. You're going to have bad habits emotionally. You're not going to be able to control your emotions. You're going to live your life through whatever emotional patterns you have. It's going to totally color your life. Physically, you're going to have bad habits, and it doesn't matter if you go to the gym every day and work out for 5 hours. You've got bad physical habits, and the habits are located inside your body. Your level of anxiety and tension, stress, worry, it all has an effect on your physical body. You're going to have bad habits financially. Now, not everybody's going to have every one of these, but a weak attention span, you're going to have at least one. And it's possible you're going to have bad habits socially with other people and in your love life. Can you imagine what a weak attention span does to a person's love life? A weak attention span damages your ability to love other people because you can't control. You don't even know how you can't keep a marriage together because you can't control your attention. You're not paying attention to the right things. Your thoughts are out of control. Your emotions are out of control. It's difficult to maintain a long-term relationship. Remember, it's not necessarily you. It could be the other person. That's been my experience. My last two relationships, hey, I had total control of my attention, but the other person didn't. And, you know, if another person does not want to control their attention, they can't direct their attention. That means they can't direct it onto the relationship itself. And this is socially and in love relationships. If you've got a weak attention span, if you can't control your attention, if you can't hold it onto a thing, if you can't control it for extended periods of time, and remember, we're talking about extended periods of time. extended periods of times mean extended periods of time means you possess certain characteristics in order to do that. That it means you've got, remember, we discussed it. In order for you to control your attention for extended periods of time, you have to have mastery over your attention to direct it onto a particular thing. You have to be able to sweep aside thoughts and control thoughts. You have to be able to sweep aside impulses and outweigh impulses and let things go. And to be able to constantly come back to the thing that's most important. These are the characteristics you possess when you have strong attention span. But when you have weak attention span, these things suffer. And that means if you have a weak attention span, you're going to have a lack of any real purpose for your life. You're going to be told what to do, and that's the only way you're going to be able to move in any form of a line. And the reason you have to be told what to do is because your purpose is constantly shifting. You have a weak attention span. Your desires are constantly going from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other. So the only way you move in a straight line is if you work a job and somebody's constantly telling you what to do, and then you do it, and lo and behold, hey, you get somewhere, but you get somewhere that somebody else is telling you to go. And if you don't have a job, if you're entrepreneurial and you're looking to get into business or something like that, you're always chasing one thing or another. I can't tell you how many people I know that go from thing to thing to thing to thing, hoping that the next thing will be the big thing that will work out for them. They're always chasing, but they never stick to the one thing that they've gotten into. That used to be me, always chasing the carrot. But never sticking to the thing, never planting the seed in the ground and letting it sprout and fruit and grow fruit. If you've got a weak attention span, you've got a lack of upward and forward momentum. You can't move in a straight line if you've got a weak attention span, except to obey orders for you. And then you don't do that very well. Not as well as you could be able to. If you have strong attention span, you're going to be excellent in your job, but not if you have weak attention span. And I remember when I was working at Boeing, I was a software guy out there. There are people I know literally out of an 8-hour day worked less than 15 minutes and they got paid for it. They had been working for years. I would see them constantly going on smoke breaks, running around talking to other people, goofing off in the office. These people got maybe 15 minutes of work a day done. And half that work, half of that 15 minutes was turning on their computer and turning it off. And you can get away with that stuff in the corporate world. I've seen it happen. But if you want to get promoted, if you want to stand out from the crowd, if you want to be on the fast track, you've got to have a strong attention span. And of course, if you've got a strong attention span, it affects every other area of your life. That's the good thing about it. A weak attention span means you've got your emotions are out of control. So you're constantly about worry, fear, and anxiety. If you're always worried, fear, especially when it comes to like this economy, a person who has strong attention is not worried about this economy. They know they're going to make it. It doesn't matter whether you're an individual, a unit, or a team. If there's weak attention span, there's going to be lousy performance. And I've been on teams and I've been in companies, and the biggest problem has always been weak attention span, because weak attention span individually means weak focus as a group or a team. Tardiness, absenteeism, goofing off, over-socializing, people doing anything for escapism, daydreaming, procrastinating. And nothing makes me roll my eyeballs like somebody who thinks that they're multitasking efficiently. People with weak attention spans are constantly patting themselves on the back for being multitaskers. Multitasking is not the way. Multitasking is a sign of a problem. Now, there are efficient ways to work things, but the typical multitasker is simply weak in their attention. They can't stand to be on one thing and get it done. Now, if you increase your attention span, as you improve your ability to control your attention for an extended period of time, you're automatically going to become excellent at everything you do. When we talk about that singular mental concentration builder of pouring your attention into the dot, that's applied, let's say, in your work. You are able to pour yourself into any task. And the more you're able to pour yourself into any task, you're automatically going to become better at it. Let's say you take up a simple task. You want to play piano. You just want to learn how to play piano. The person who does it for 10 minutes a day cannot compare to the person who does it, practices for 2 hours a day. The person who can pour themselves in it for 2 hours a day in 5 years will be at a world-class level. The person who does it for 5 or 10 minutes a day will be able to play chopsticks, dun, 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 and bore people to death. The fact of taking a simple exercise, like even, say, the mental concentration builder, or take the basic mental object retention exercise. If you can pour yourself into those techniques, you are developing the type of self-control, the type of self-discipline, the type of attention control and thought control and impulse control that you can then turn around and apply to your job and be excellent at it. You will literally set yourself apart. I've done it several times. And it's far easier than you think. The most difficult time you're going to have is in practice, not in applying it to your job. Practice is where you work out the kinks. Academically, you're going to be far more excellent when you can actually have an extended attention span. You'll actually be paying attention to the lessons that you're getting. You're actually able to open a book and go through word by word and lesson by lesson. And here's a secret. When you control your attention, you control your interest. Remember the lesson on the singular mental concentration builder. You pour yourself into the target. You automatically own your interest. There's no boredom. Boredom is a thing of the past. Boredom goes away. Boredom is a sign of an absolute lack of attention control. Interest follows attention. Attention controlled is interest control. Academically, I don't care what the subject is, you can be utterly fascinated with it, passionate about it, by simply being able to control your attention. And that means you extend your endurance of attention to be able to pour on anything. And that's why I love giving people the most mundane tasks to train with. I don't want you trying to train with something that's exciting and that's interesting. Anybody can do that. That's not training. Here's a Wii. Here's a PlayStation 3. Go ahead and train yourself on that. I want you to play a video game for 5 hours. No. That's not attention control. Here, take this copy of an engineering manual, and I want you to read it backwards for an hour. Now we're talking about endurance. It literally changes your academic life and at work. Totally boosts your momentum and your productivity. You want to set yourself aside, self apart in your career. Be more productive. But not in a way, okay, where you're kissing somebody's butt. You want to literally put your boss out of business. When I was working, my bosses didn't have a job when it came to me. They just check in and see if I need anything because they know they didn't have to keep up with me. I became a partner with every boss I had because I outworked them, and they loved it. They literally would find things that would help me get promoted. The last job I had, I made manager in less than 3 months. I did not go in as a manager. I became a manager in less than 3 months and kept getting promoted back. Because the world is filled with mentally lazy people. And I don't say that to denigrate. I'm just letting you know they are suffering from homeostasis, from a lazy brain, the brain trying to maintain the status quo. And if you want to separate yourself from that crowd, do the simple types of techniques that I just mentioned. Learn the lessons. Learn the characteristics of your attention and your thoughts and your emotions and your impulses. Learn how to be able to manage those in the privacy of your own home. Don't turn off the TV, man. Turn off the radio. Well, not this. You got to listen to this show. Don't turn this off. Hey, get away from that button. But take time to train your brain to do what you need it to do. It wants to do it. It just doesn't know it wants to do it. Your productivity, your ability to produce more is your path to success and to wealth, no matter what you're doing. And when you train your brain to simply be able to stay on target for extended periods of time, you are automatically increasing your ability to be productive. You won't be satisfied unless you are more productive. You wouldn't be able to stand there and goof off. It would bug you too much because your perception is much more clear now. You understand what you can do. You understand what you can achieve. You look at your boss and you go, man, that guy has nothing on me. Let me show these people how it's done. And you do it without being asked. Discipline to do what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, whether you want to do it or not. And when you've got self-discipline, it's not that you're doing it in defiance of not wanting to do it. It's that experience of not wanting to do it, of laziness and boredom, those things go away because you are in control of your attention. When you have a stronger attention span, you develop a real inspiring purpose for your life because you're able to hold it. The reason so many people are going in circles and going nowhere is because their desires constantly shift from moment to moment. They want one thing at 5 o'clock. They want another thing at 5:30. The ability to have a strong attention span means you can hold your desire before you on the stage of your mind until you've got it achieved. There's no shifting. There's no inner conflict. You know what you want. You keep it at the stage of your mind. You reject everything else, and then you do it. Sector Sept in the chat room asks, where do I start? Go to www.neurosculpting.com. Hey, Damon, would you type that in there, please, www.neurosculpting.com? That's neuro-sculpting.com. Click on the free seven-day course link up top on the website. That's a good place to start. And once you get in, and if you want to actually fast-track your training and deal with me personally, then you can become an actual subscriber to the Neural Sculpting Training Studio. But for now, just start out with the free training course. So, again, you separate yourself from the crowd. You literally separate yourself in life from the common performers, from lazy people, by just actually learning to increase your attention span. Totally eradicate procrastination. Literally, if you set yourself a goal to lose weight, it's easy for you. You want to get into great physical shape, it's easy for you because you don't have any competing desires that can compete with the one thing you've set for your life because your attention is under your control. Now, let's talk about a few strategies for increasing your attention span. And let's talk about areas you can do it. Now, I am a member of a website that I absolutely love. I've been a member for a couple years now. It's called sparkpeople.com. A while back, I was a bit overweight. I was up about 240, and I should be somewhere around 185, 190 for my height. And I decided, you know what, one of the things about mental training is you start to detect right away the obstacles to mental training. We're going to be talking about that probably within a few weeks, we're going to do a show on that. But one of the biggest obstacles to mental training is your physical condition, the physical condition of your body. If you get tired easily physically, you're going to get tired easily mentally when you do the training. You won't be able to avoid it, but only the difference is you're going to actually know it. You're going to detect it. You're going to feel the fatigue come at you. Now, there's some efforts you can do to overcome the fatigue, but eventually you're going to want to improve the amount of energy, to increase the amount of energy that you have. Okay, now you can do that through change of diet. You can start eating a lot more fresh fruits and vegetables, a lot more water-friendly foods, foods that give you energy rather than sap energy. Because in the case of, say, if you like meat and you combine meat with bread, anytime you combine meat with bread, it actually requires a lot more energy to digest, and that's energy you could be using for your mental life. Now, when you do your mental training and you run up against fatigue, the first thing you want to do is correct it, because it doesn't feel good. You actually notice the fact that you're fatigued. You notice how your body feels, period. Okay? Now, when it comes to strategies for increasing your attention span, one of the first things you're going to do is improve your physical conditioning. There are some people listening to the sound of my voice whose attention spans will more than double by simply changing what you eat. It's amazing. It's amazing how foods and combinations of foods can cause you to be distracted. We're talking chemicals and elements here, folks, and it affects your brain. Now, there are some people who say, well, if I drink coffee, I get distracted and irritable. But there are other people, there are some people who have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, who actually concentrate better when they drink coffee. You may have to experiment. But I know that when I'm eating fresh fruits and vegetables, I'm in a much better position mentally as well as physically. I simply feel better. Now, when I'm eating the double whopper with cheese or something like that, I know well ahead of time, while I'm stuffing it down my gullet, that is going to affect my ability to concentrate. There's no choice. It's bread, it's meat, it's dead, it's not fresh. Come on. First strategy for improving your attention span is find a way to eat food that's going to give you more energy. I'm not talking about the energy drinks and stuff like that. That's not the type of energy I'm talking about. I'm talking about natural, healthy energy. That's one strategy. Now, the second, of course, we're going to talk about the mental aspect, training yourself for a stronger attention span. Now, here's, again, I'm going to talk two resources that you can use. We've got you've got the radio show, so there's three resources, all right? We've got a whole archive of training shows. This is not a talk show, per se. This is a training show. That means every show that we have in our archives is a training show. You can go in, literally, and listen to individual shows on different topics and find yourself enough information to help you move forward. The YouTube channel we have, which is www.youtube.com/dynamicmentalfitness, has numerous videos in there that you can watch and get training techniques to help you out also. And, of course, there's the 7 Days of Better Brain Fitness course, which is free at our website at www.neurosculpting.com, that you can use. Now, a fourth option for you is to actually become a subscriber to the NeuroSculpting Training Studio. And I think there are three levels of subscription. You can do the monthly, you can do the quarterly, or you can do the yearly, which saves you some money. The yearly people know that they have unlimited access to me. I mean, unlimited. Anybody who signs up for a year to me is serious. And anybody who's that serious, well, they've got unlimited access. Those are four training approaches that you can use. Now, there are techniques all over the place. But the main concept you need to keep in mind is that you've got to be able to break through the walls of your mental limitations. And I'm not talking about some of the deeper stuff. I'm talking about the simple stuff now. In the case of the basic mental object retention exercise, people say, oh, man, I can't get it. I did it. I couldn't do it for more than 45 seconds. Not a problem. Do it for 50. What? But I just said, do it for 50. You don't stop training until you can do it for 50 seconds. And then do a minute. Then a minute and a half. Then 2 minutes. Because here's the thing. There are some things, there are some tactics that you're going to have to use in order to just get an extra 5 seconds. What did you have to do in order to break that 45-second barrier? What did you do? Well, I closed my eyes. That helped. Okay, well, there's your first tactic. You shut off the extra visual stimulation. Well, once I got to a certain point, I just knuckled down and I made myself keep going. Well, there's a tactic. It's called resolve. It's as though you're in the gym and you're doing some bench presses. Okay, you're lifting your weights, you're pressing, and then your arms get tired. There's a guy standing over you yelling at you, come on, you can get one more. And you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing. That is resolve. You're pushing to try to get one more rep. That same feeling, that same effort is something you do in your mental training if you want to get further. Now, I don't want your body to be all tense and everything, but if you got to do it, then doggone it, do it. Let your brain know that you are serious about this. Now, here's another approach. If you're doing a technique and you find that you are exceedingly weak at it, do a different technique. It's more important for you to find a technique that you're more comfortable with, that you have better control over, than to fight constantly over one over which you have weak control. We want you to have progress, and we want you to have gains, but we also want you to do it efficiently. Some of you are not visual creatures. I mean, you have eyesight, but you're not creative visually. That means that you've got to find a different type of technique that might fit more into your learning style. Now, the basic mental object retention technique has a sister, corresponding technique, auditory, sound. If you can produce a sound in your imagination and hold that sound, you can learn to concentrate better. You can increase your attention span that way. Some people will find that easier. Other people will find that extremely difficult. I can do either one of them. Doesn't matter to me. I've trained just that much. And that's one thing you will find. If you increase your ability to concentrate using one type of technique, one learning style, you'll be able to do better in the other learning styles. But you got to make progress in one of them at least. For instance, let me give you the time schedules and let me give you the time criteria on these. On any of these techniques, remember there are four types actually. There are sensory techniques that have to do with your senses, your eyes, your taste, your smell. You can literally train with your senses. Matter of fact, those are the easiest things to train with. There are intellectual techniques where you use your imagination to train, your ability to create thought, hold thought, shift and manipulate thought. There are intuitive techniques where you use your ability to perceive in an integrated fashion, to sense the world and to sense yourself internally. And then there are simple attention control techniques. Now, you take any technique from any of those categories. Let's take the singular mental concentration builder. If you can do that technique uncorrupted, without messing up, for 5 minutes, for just under 5 minutes, you are in what we refer to as the weak category. All right? That's not an insult. It's not anything to denigrate you. It just lets you know that you're still in the weak category. But 5 minutes is far superior to 1 minute. So you want to work your way up there. If you can do this technique for between 7 minutes and say 11 minutes, you are in the moderate category. That's actually very powerful. I mean, do you realize how much self-control is required for you to do a simple technique like that for 7 to 10 minutes, 11 minutes? There is a great amount of self-control involved in that. If I got anybody in the audience listening to me and they can do these things, I can tell you, show you how to apply that discipline that you've acquired, those skills you acquired in just a 7 to 11 minute span. I can show you how to apply that to your job, to your career, to your schooling, your classes, to your social interactions. I can take what you've learned and we can go over and review what you've learned, and I can show you how to apply it. Now, if you take that technique and you can do it for more than 11 minutes, I want you to be on this show with me. I need a co-host. Anybody who can control their mind for that amount of time, the road is wide open. There's nothing that can stop you from doing what it is you set out to do. But you have to know how to apply it. Now, I've had over and over and over again, people tell me, oh, yeah, I did it for 15 minutes, no problem. And I know that they have no idea what they're talking about. So I go in and I ask them certain details, and then we find out that they were fooling themselves. It's much more profound than the simple number. When I say you've got to be able to do it for these levels from, you know, the five minutes and under versus the 6 minutes to 11 minutes versus the more than 11 minutes to the 15-minute and more category, there are certain mental characteristics that are going to be involved in each one, certain experiences involved in each one. Your level, your ability to control your thoughts when you're in the weak category is totally different than your ability to control your thoughts when you're in the moderate category. It's a different experience. You know more when you hit the moderate category. Now, here's the key. When you hit the moderate category in one type of technique, let's say you did the basic mental object retention, that does not mean that you are becoming a well-rounded trainee. Remember, you've got four categories. You've got sensory, intuitive, intellectual, and attention control. You need to be able to cover at least three of those categories in order to be able to call yourself truly a moderate performer. Now, if you've got the ability to hold an image in your mind for 7 minutes, but you can't hold your attention onto your breathing in your body for 7 minutes, then you're kind of unbalanced. And then if I ask you to do a sensory control exercise, like look at the tip of the second hand on a clock that's going around and keep your attention on the tip of that second hand for as long as you can, and you can't do that for 7 minutes, then you've got a sensory control deficit. And what you want is a balance, a triangle, okay? Now, I don't worry too much about the simple attention control itself, that category, because as long as you're training on the others, you're going to be taking care of that fourth category. I just want the triangle. You'll get the diamond, if you know what I mean. Sensory, intuitive, intellectual, that's the triangle. You get to the moderate, you're weak right now, you're weak in all three areas. Most people are going to be weak in all three areas. But if you train, you can become moderate in all three areas. If you become moderate in all three areas, I can throw you into any boardroom in the country and you're going to excel if you know how to apply what you've learned. When you've got moderate on that triangle, you've automatically got the diamond. That means you automatically got the attention control down on the bottom. So to get the diamond, get the triangle. So you've got four sources that you can go to in order to be able to improve your attention span. Your objective is to reach your limit and then go just a little bit past that, and to do that over and over and over again every day. And I mean every day. This is a priority. There is nothing more important than this because it affects everything you do. If you increase your attention span, you're going to become excellent at your job. You're going to become excellent in your career. You're going to become excellent in your business. And if you're academically, if you're in school, college, you're going to become excellent. If you increase your attention span, you're going to boost your momentum, your productivity. You're going to be able to listen to other people. You're going to be able to know what's true versus what's fiction. You can read people like a book. It's going to add value to your social life because you'll be able to read the crowd. You will literally be able to perceive where the power and the value lies in any gathering. And then when you speak, you'll be able to speak with control, okay, with poise. You won't be blurting out and saying stupid things. When you have a strong attention span, okay, you won't do stupid things. You won't do things that sabotage yourself. You'll be able to control what thoughts dominate your mind at any given moment. You'll be able to determine what thoughts you think and what types of concepts you cling to. You determine how you feel. Feelings don't determine how you feel when you have a strong attention span. You totally eradicate procrastination. And, of course, you're going to stand out from the crowd in every year. I literally have to hold back everywhere I go in any crowd that I'm in because I have this natural ability to just take over a leadership role. I have to hold back. Some things are simply not my business, not my affair. If I get involved in a group, I'm automatically right up at front. I automatically elected to some type of formal leadership. That's why I control where I get involved. I keep my distance because attention control, mastery of attention, automatically gives you a form of personal magnetism that is infectious, and you have to control it. When you have a strong attention span, your efficiency, your actions, your words, your thoughts, everything's much more efficient. You don't waste time. And you don't waste time with time wasters. You despise that sort of thing. You know how valuable life is. And it increases your fluid intelligence. I didn't get into that before. The stronger you are with attention span, the more intelligent you are. Fluid intelligence. Practical intelligence. The ability to live life better. So, if you want to increase your attention span, listen to the show archives. We've got plenty of them for this year and last year. Check out the YouTube channel. Sign up for the free 7-day course there at the Neuroscope and Training Studio. And when you're serious and you really want to make progress and you want to fast-track yourself and get personal training, go ahead and become a paying subscriber to the Neuroscope and Training Studio. Folks, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Mental Power Hour. It's been a great episode. I've really enjoyed giving you the information I have. If you have any questions on the information, you're definitely welcome to write me at trainer@neurosculpting.com. If you need to speak to me about the information, about maybe customizing your training, give me a call at 904-638-3851, and I'll promise to get back to you. Go ahead and make sure to leave me a message if you don't hear from me right away. Remember, next week's show is going to be about self-discipline, the power to own yourself. How to turn a lack of self-discipline into your ally for better self-discipline. Now, the Mental Power Hour is brought to you by the Neurosculpting Mental Training Studio for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower. Again, visit the Neurosculpting Training Studio at www.neurosculpting.com. That's NEURO-sculpting.com. I want to thank everybody who spent time in the chat room. If anybody's got any questions, I'll answer them now. Otherwise, I will see you guys next week.